aggressiveness and the inability as well. Turnover, though, by Boston. Now Simmons in transition. What a pass to Embiid! My goodness! Posterizes Baines!
Simmons all the way in, and he gets a slam!
Process that!
Harris, then by Adams on the switch. Harris shoots over with a rainbow three!
Butler. It's in his hands.
You gonna sit on it?
5 seconds remaining. Butler looks like he's going for the win. Butler heaves and hits with 0.4 seconds remaining. Jimmy Butler delivers for his new squad. Process that.
Hello and welcome to Top 3 Protected. We're back once again. I'm your host, Eddie. I'm here with Eric. And the Sixers fall in game one versus the Brooklyn Nets, final score of 111 to 102. D'Angelo Russell led the way for Brooklyn with 26 points, shooting 40% from three. He also finished with 4 assists and 3 rebounds, but also putting in a lot of buckets for the Nets was Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie. The Sixers, meanwhile, were led by Jimmy Butler, who had a great game, playoff career high of 36 points, shooting 50% from the field. Joel also did well, although he looked kind of slowed by his knee. He finished with 22 points and 15 boards. Not a good showing from Ben, JJ, or Tobias Harris. All three of them were pretty invisible this game. JJ actually fouled out, only finished with 5 points. Ben finished with 9 points. And Tobias finished with 4. Boban had 13 points. And he looked good out there. Not good. Eric, this game involved booing from the Philadelphia fans. Also, we're getting word that the phone fiasco was because Amir was checking in on his sick daughter. So hopefully things get better there, but still, overall, not good. Kenny Atkinson kind of outcoached Brown there. What did you see?
I saw a bunch of teams on the Brooklyn Nets get buckets, and despite D'Angelo Russell's inefficient night, he still found a way to get his, and the Nets showed how deep they are at the 1 and 2 position, and it's troublesome for the 76ers, but the good news is that they're not going to shoot 3 for 25 from three in every game. But there's a reason I thought the Sixers were on upset alert, and it's when the Nets get hot, they can shoot with just about anybody, and that's something you have to be careful of.
Yeah, they definitely did get hot, especially from three. Caris LeVert had three.
And they weren't even playing. They were only like 40%, but it was like they were 40% from three, and that's where their clutch shooting came from. Every time the Sixers would seem to make a move, the Nets would just hit a dagger every time.
Yeah, and they always kept us at arm's length, it seems. We never tied it back up once they took a big lead. That kind of spelled disaster for the Sixers there. So they started the game off and kind of got them out of their rhythm by going in a zone, the Nets did, and it kind of threw people off. They completely shut down JJ Redick. You could tell that the focal point of their defensive game plan was shutting him down, which, not surprisingly, had some effects on how we performed as a team, but Jimmy definitely showed up, and showed what type of player he could be in the playoffs, so that was a bright spot. How do you feel about Jonathan Simmons getting those minutes over Zaire? Because I would have preferred to see Zaire out there.
I'd like to see Zaire as well. Simmons didn't do anything to necessarily warrant playing again. He didn't play terribly. You know, he made a couple shots, but I'd rather see Zaire just to see what he could get on the defensive end. And maybe he could hit a shot moving forward as well.
So, out Zaire aside, as I mentioned, not only JJ Redick, but Tobias and Ben were pretty invisible today. Ben especially. It was a really bad game for him. And he finished with, as I mentioned, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, but also 3 turnovers. And he finished with a negative 20. He finished at minus 21, tied with J.J. Redick for worst on the team. What improvements do you think we could see from Ben out there? What do you think he can do better? I think maybe he could just try and be a little more aggressive. But I do think that I think point Jimmy is going to be the way you have to go here, because Ben bringing up the ball, it didn't really do much for us in the half court, in my opinion.
The Nets are daring Ben to shoot, and Ben's not going to shoot this year. So I think it's going to need to be a bit more point Jimmy moving forward, simply because Ben can then get his opportunities off ball, giving him an opportunity to slash and get toward the rim and potentially clean up some Butler misses with Embiid on the other side. It's just too predictable with Ben right now. You could kind of see him telegraphing his moves, and, you know, he gets halfway into the paint, stops, pivots, and everyone just sags off because they knew even from 15 feet out, he's not going to shoot. Hell, Bobby can shoot from 15 feet out.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good right now, but major props to Brooklyn. They definitely performed well, and they took care of business, and they stole game one at home, which now gives them home court advantage for the rest of the series. So the Sixers will have to pick it up and do better come Monday. How do you feel about how Brett Brown did today? Because it doesn't seem like there was many in-game adjustments. He did mention post-game that we're going to be seeing a lot more point Jimmy, which in general, which is good to hear. But I feel like this goes back to last year's playoff run too. How often do we really see in-game adjustments from Coach Brown? Now, obviously this is game one, so I'm not saying he's going to be like this the whole season. I mean, the whole rest of the playoff run. And you know, things could change or what have you, but it seems like his adjustments are more game to game than they are possession to possession. Whereas with Atkinson, there are adjustments, you know, within certain runs and certain series, things within the game. How do you feel about Brown in this situation?
Well, with Brett, it's going to be how he responds game to game. You can kind of see that, you know, a big point of the Sixers offense is that Embiid pick setting for J.J. Redick so Redick can shoot a three around the Embiid screen. And if you can't hit it, if Redick's not going to be able to hit off of that Embiid screen, you're going to have to find your offense elsewhere. There's not much adjusting you can do if you're going to shoot 3 of 25. Again, that's something that you just, you know, that coaching only takes you so far in that realm. You can't account for shooting that terribly. And you can't really account for the missed free throws as well.
Yeah, I think so it was many missed free throws.
The line today.
Yeah.
What was it, 29 of 42? That's not going to fly. I was watching the game with my friend. He's like, he wants everybody, before they get to go home from the gym, to shoot 100 free throws, and everybody's got to make 70 of them. And if they don't do it, they have to start over. He's pretty pissed about the missed free throw aspect. But moving forward in terms of like some game to game adjustments, they got to stop Ed Davis. You got 16 boards.
Yeah.
He's been f-ing. And you got to find out what's going on with Embiid. If Embiid's going to look like this, you got to take a look at giving Jonah Bolden some serious minutes.
I don't know why we didn't see Jonah. And also I'm kind of concerned about Joel. I feel like the knee is clearly bothering him. Tendonitis obviously is something that doesn't just go away after a short period of time, and something you really got to be icing and resting on. But now that it's playoff time, he can't really do that as much as I would like him to. And I think this just kind of speaks back, and let me know if you agree, but I think it just kind of speaks back to, I feel like personally, especially in the first half of the season, he just, the way that the Sixers, not only as a coaching staff, but as an organization, and this partly falls on Joel himself, I feel like his load, like the amount that he was playing, was grossly mishandled, and you know, like at one point during the season, I'm not sure when it was, but it was early in the season, he was leading the league in minutes played, not per game, just overall. And it's just like, with someone with his injury history, and even though last year he would have had 70-plus games had Markel not broken his face in that freak injury, he's just really big, and he has that history of injuries and seven-footers and that history of injury, usually don't end well. So I feel like we should be doing more. We should have been doing more so throughout the season to make sure that he wasn't playing as many minutes as we had. We had all these opportunities to play Jonah. We had all these opportunities to maybe see what Justin Patton did or pick someone up off the scrap heap or what have you, or just play Amir more. Like, it's regular season games. We were going to get in the playoffs. And I feel like all that mismanagement of Joel Embiid's minutes and the load that he was carrying throughout the regular season is coming back now, and it's rearing its ugly head in the form of this knee tendonitis that he's now experiencing. And it kind of makes me worried and feels like maybe that's why Elton went and pushed all his chips in to get Jimmy and Tobias now, because who knows, and, you know, knock on wood, who knows how long Embiid's going to hold up. I want him to last for the next decade. I want him and Ben to be together at least for the next decade. That would be great to see, but, you know, like, it's game time now. We have Jimmy and Tobias now, and I just hate the fact that this knee thing is bothering him, because in my opinion, maybe it couldn't have been completely prevented, but it could have been easier than this. And I just feel like this is a prime example of why he needed to have been better managed during the regular season.
Yeah, I can understand the frustration with that, particularly knowing that you had this entire time to get him ready. No one's really going to know what happened or what kind of baggage he had at the All-Star game or what he might have tweaked fucking around with the boys. But you might have to take a look at giving him a sit-down. If he's not going to be able to take care of Ed Davis, if he's not going to be able to take care of Jared Allen, there's going to be some issues moving forward that are going to expose the Sixers. But again, I don't think it's time to hit the panic switch per se. It's time for Embiid to get some treatment. I think he'll play game two, and I think the Sixers do win at home. But there's going to need to be a few adjustments made, and that includes some stopping in the center of the paint. A few times there were some defensive breakdowns. I think Simmons and Mike Scott both missed. I think it was Spencer Dinwiddie who drove right through them both and finished with an easy layup. They really need to take a look at stopping the interior, or they could be down 2-0.
Yeah, and that would I don't even want to know what the media would be around Philadelphia if that happened. How did you feel about the players getting booed? So Joel post game, he said that the Philly fans booing affected some of the players, he feels like, and he's quoted saying, "The fact that it's after every missed shot you get booed. For some guys, when they get the next one, they wonder, should I shoot it? Should I not? Because I'm about to get booed." Some guys are like that. I don't think it bothers Joel as much. I feel like he's proven it doesn't really bother him. But how do you feel about the team getting booed? I thought it was more booing, more so for the effort thing. Ben did get booed when he missed two free throws.
But yeah, what's he going to do? Just like not shoot the free throw? It's like, well... He's gonna miss it anyway. So might as well just let him know that, like, hey, 56-60% isn't that much of an improvement.
Yeah, and Ben is also post game saying, you know, if you're gonna boo, then stay on that side. Probably not the best quote, but he's just a little frustrated, so I'm not gonna harp
on that. I mean, of course we're gonna stay on that side. We're not NBA talented players like you guys are, but you know, do better.
Yeah, you kind
of
want to.
That's part of the ticket of admission and the fact that there weren't dollar dogs that night. So, you know,
it just seemed more like an effort thing to me. Didn't it to you? Like I feel like Jimmy and Joel were the only ones that showed up.
I suppose you're right. Tobias was there. He just couldn't hit anything. JoJo did not shoot the ball well tonight at all. He was 0-5 from 3. He hit a couple baskets, but, you know, he only got his in the paint. He only got his at the line. And other than Jimmy Butler shooting, you know, pretty well, and Bobby with a couple spurts off the bench, nobody shot particularly well. And that's what it's going to come down to. You know, I talked about how the Nets have 4 guards who could drop 20 on you at a given moment. And that's, I think, almost what happened. Let me check that, actually. Yeah, Russell had 26.
Yeah.
Harris had 13. Dinwiddie had 18. And LeVert had 23. Yep. So Dinwiddie and LeVert together 41 off the bench as their backup guards, which is pretty insane. And Joe Harris, 3 of 4.
75% from 3.
and 5 of 7 from the field. So that's how the Nets' depth can beat you. That'd be so crazy. People talk about like KD to the Knicks. What about KD to the Nets?
The Nets kind of remind me a little bit of us like a couple years ago. I don't know. There's some like type of processy feel to them. But
that'd be fun. You get to live in Brooklyn. There's like, you know, less traffic, you know, more organic produce. And you just like, you're going to have a driver anyway if you live in
the park. Yes, there it is. KD to Brooklyn because of the organic produce. That's it. Wait, actually, what if they got like AD or Kawhi?
No, I think AD's still going to go to Boston because Boston has 4 first rounders that can trade.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Do you think they're going to throw Tatum on the table?
They don't have to. What is it that they have? If Memphis is 8th right now, so if Memphis doesn't win the draft lottery and if somebody else moves up, the Celtics will get like the 9th pick. They have their own pick, which is 22. They have the Clippers pick, which is 24, or it's like 20 and 22 or some shit like that. And then they're going to likely have the Kings pick, which will be 14. So it'll be like 9, 14, 20, 22.
And do you think they would trade just the picks for Anthony Davis?
They trade that and Scary Terry.
Okay. I feel you. So it'd have to be a sign and trade for Scary Terry, because I'm pretty sure he's a free agent, if I'm not mistaken. But I know they have to make salaries match. Maybe Gordon Hayward. I don't know. Gordon Hayward and 4 picks maybe isn't that bad a deal. But yeah. Oh, so Jimmy Butler post game on Joel said, yeah, he can help us, but at the same time, he can hurt us if it gets worse. Like I said, don't get me wrong. We definitely want Joe out there, but we definitely want him healthy. And I think this just speaks back to he did look a little hobbled out there, but still had, by all accounts, a pretty good game. He had a couple nice blocks, and he did what he could out there. Like I mentioned, he definitely showed up. But yeah, maybe it might need to be a thing, like you mentioned, where maybe they just sit him for a game. I don't know. I'm trying really hard not to overreact to one game, because that's just what it is, which is one game. And so there's still a whole rest of the series to play, but it was a little discouraging to see what we saw today. I don't really have much else to say about the game other than it was kind of disappointing to see, and I hope that we do better next time. It's really just our perimeter defense. And I don't know you'd think that with Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler on the team, maybe it'd be a little better, but it just doesn't seem like our rotations are there. I don't know if it's a chemistry thing.
Yeah, we had, 26 points off the bench. LeVert had 23 off the bench himself. Don't forget about Dinwiddie's 18. They were coming at us from all angles. And I think they just didn't have a single bad quarter. And the Sixers were just, cold in the first and the fourth. And that's really what affected them.
Okay, so continuing the conversation, what obviously outside of losing game 2, what would be the most, would you be more concerned if we barely win game 2? Like, even if we won, would you be more concerned if we just, like, barely won? Like, let's say not much changed, but, like, Jimmy saved us in the end.
Just gotta find a way to win the second game. And then you go into Brooklyn with the same mentality you had before, which was split. Just take one in Brooklyn. Don't come back to Philly in game 5 facing elimination. And then just focus on your game 5 at home. But for right now, you got to take care of your business at home. And then you got to go on the road. So even if it's a close encounter, you're going to expect that. This is a division rival. They're going to show up ready to play basketball. Kenny Atkinson is going to Google again how to like be coach, and he'll take care of business in that regard. They'll be ready to play, and the Sixers will need to show up as well. But they're going to have to grind it out. They're not going to have anything handed to them, and they're not going to coast to a 10-point victory.
That three-headed monster of Russell, Dinwiddie, and LeVert with Joe Harris out there, man, they're just a young and hungry team. Sixers will definitely need to tighten up if they want to
Ed Davis.
Jared Allen didn't do much this game. Joel almost fouled him out in the first quarter.
but it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet to see. Not much other sweet things to see in this game, but I think this will be a short one. I don't have much else to say. It just was not a good game from us. It was a great game for the Nets. Didn't see much from Toby, Ben, or JJ at all. Actually, Ben and Toby just were not there, and JJ somehow had a worse game than somebody not being there. It just was not good. They were hawking him on every single switch, which, you know, when he's not hitting shots and then letting everything go by on defense, there's not much more you can do. Do you have anything of substance or any thoughts to lay out there?
No.
Yeah, one of those games.
Yep.
So, like I mentioned earlier, the Sixers and Nets will be back on
Monday
night, once again in Philadelphia. And hopefully things go better. What are you predicting? I am predicting a Sixers win.
Yeah, I'm definitely predicting some all-you-can-eat tacos because there's a place that does it on Monday. And yeah, I'll predict another Sixers win. Why not? I think these guys are going to realize that, you know, they can't go but down back to Brooklyn down 0-2. They'll find a way.
Yep. Okay, well, that is it for this short and kind of depressed episode of Top 3 Protected. For Eric, I am Eddie, and we will see you guys. We'll be back after game two. All right, see y'all later. Peace.
Turnover, though, by Boston. Now Simmons in transition. What a pass to Embiid! My goodness! Posterizes Baines. Simmons all the way in, and he gets a slam! Process that.
Harris, cut by Adams on the switch. Shoots over him with a rainbow three.
Just due to Butler. Wow. It's in his hands. Is he going to sit on it? 5 seconds remaining. Butler looks like he's going for the win. Butler heaves and hits.